Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in London. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're continuing in our study of Philippians chapter 3 in this statement that the Apostle Paul makes, really challenging the Philippians, saying, "For our citizenship is in heaven." And we contrasted and looked at a little bit yesterday what the world is pursuing, but also this glorious picture that the Bible presents to us of this place called heaven. The descriptions surely are not lacking in the Bible. They are full of what heaven will be, its glory, a place where there's no more pain, nor sorrow, nor suffering, nor death, nor sin. But a place of bliss, a place of joy, a place of happiness, most of all because our Savior is there who has purchased us and given us a right as adopted sons to that very heavenly home. And that's what Paul is charging the Philippians to see. In light of all of their sufferings, in light of their pain, they're struggling as a church, they're struggling with internal disputes, people aren't getting along. All these things are really carnal, and they're really pictures of belonging to the wisdom of this world. And Paul's saying, look, you've been brought out of that. He says in verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Paul wanted to firmly impress upon their hearts that their citizenship was actually right now, presently, in the place that the Bible describes as all of these beauties and all of these wonders in this great place that Christ has prepared and gone to build for those who love Him. Well, it's not as though this is something out of reach until we finish this life. I mean, we often think of it that way. You know, finally, when I get done with this life, then I'll go to heaven. And there's a truth to that, physically, of course, but Paul is going to say an understanding must drive us in the way we live right now that our citizenship is there. When you live believing that, it has huge implications for the present. And Paul is saying that to us today. We must strain forward to where our home really is. Now, again, in verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven. The "for" there is very important. Yesterday, we looked at that is set in direct contrast to those whom he's just described who do not have their citizenship in heaven, which is really the world. But rather, they set their minds on earthly things, meaning their whole lives are governed and controlled by what John calls the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Paul had just used five phrases to describe them. And of course, one of the strongest was, "whose God is their belly." Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that their lusts and the impulses that they have, whatever comes from their lusts and desires and their emotions or whatever, drive them in their pursuits, which is really hedonism. And Paul's been presenting something different. It's through the mind that must direct action and perception. When it's just sort of, as people say today, the motions should direct action, emotions, or whatever you feel, that is a form of hedonism. And Paul is saying that is somebody whose God is their belly. This is very much conveyed in a song that has been at the number one spot through the month of February and a little earlier for country music singles. And I want to quote this song because it really does give us a good perspective here on the radio of the world and those who really have set their mind on earthly things. The song is called "Lucky Man," and I want you to listen to the words of this number one song. Listen to what he says. "For the past few weeks, I have days when I hate my job, this little town, and the whole world too. Last Sunday, when the Bengals lost, Lord, it put me in a bad mood. I have moments when I curse the rain, then complain when the sun's too hot. I look around at what everyone has, then I forget about all I've got." Now here is his answer to this wrong perspective that he's had. "But I know I'm a lucky man. God's given me a pretty fair hand, got a house and a piece of land, a few dollars in the coffee can, my old truck's still running good, my ticker's ticking like they say it should, I got supper in the oven, a good woman's lovin', and one more day to be my little kid's dad, Lord knows I'm a lucky man. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if in many churches across this land, many evangelical churches, they would open their worship and praise music with that very song and probably think nothing's wrong. I mean, because it fits the average American prosperity mentality. If I have everything in the here and now, well, then God's really prospered me and I'm really blessed and that really makes me happy. And that signifies, as the song says, the Lord's given me a pretty good hand. But do we hear what message this song is trying to convey to us? Listen to this carefully. Sometimes I don't realize it, but I've got everything in this life that can really make me happy. And then he goes on to outline what they are. Money, land, family, a healthy heart. Why in the world should I have gotten angry last Sunday when the Bengals lost on the Lord's Day, right? I mean, I've got the world. I'm a lucky man. You know what's so depressing and heart-wrenching about this number one song, is that his whole happiness is tied to what he has in this life. His heaven is this earth. But the question is, do you really hear any hope in that, my friends? I mean, none. Think about this today. If you have that mentality, you've built your barns and you have your home and you have your land and you have your family and you've built this wonderful life here, what hope is there really at the end of the day in that? None. Soon, that lucky man will die. And all that he has in this life will be taken from him. And then what? I mean, if one is without Christ and he has everything in this world, if he has the riches of Donald Trump, if he has the riches of Bill Gates, if he does not have Christ, all of that will be taken from him. And the Bible says the only thing they have to look forward to is hell. Without all of these things. I mean, isn't that Jesus' whole point in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? Jesus said the same thing when he said about a man who said, today I'm going to build my barns and I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. And Jesus said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be? I mean, you've built your life and you have all these things and you set your heart on earthly things and you've lived off the fat of the land, but you have neglected that which is most important. You have not gone after the one thing that you need to deliver your miserable soul as a sinner. Now, Paul could have hypothetically written a very similar song, couldn't he? To the Philippians. I mean, let me tailor that a bit and say, here's a saved man's song. The song may have sounded something a bit like this. Here I am in this prison in Rome. I'm a minister of a gospel. I am. Why do I sit in chains? There are moments I felt like cursing these chains. I felt the temptation to complain that I have no other church supporting me besides these Philippians. My life's in jeopardy. I soon may be crucified. I am alone, and we can use the words of 2 Corinthians 11 here. Weak, empty, beaten, weary, sleepless, hungry, thirsty, cold, naked. But hold on. Then I realize I've been grasped. I'm a saved man. I'm a citizen of heaven and have a home that is not of this world. Paul was pressing the Philippians to live with this kind of mindset because they were suffering. They were being persecuted. They were facing these problems as a church. And the fact is that all of their problems stemmed from an earthly point of view of things. You know, on the Friday sessions of Abounding Grace, I will sometimes receive questions from you, the listeners, and I received a very good one the other day, and I don't know if that listener is listening today, but he asked me something. We were doing a study in eschatology about the binding of Satan. And he raises a very good point. He basically said, how can you say that Christ is reigning when Christians are still in prison, tortured, and killed? As Christians in all these other countries, where the gospel's forbidden to be preached and proclaimed over the airwaves are suffering. I mean, certainly you could not convince Chinese Christians of Jesus's reign or whatever. There were more martyrs, he says, for Christ in the 20th century than all the preceding centuries. Now, this is a very good point. Do you hear his struggle? How can you say this? Look at the present circumstances. Look at the attacks. Look at how strong Satan is. Look at his sway. Now, my answer is, couldn't they have said to Paul, look at the troubles we're facing. Where's the victory in this? Where is our Lord Jesus? I mean, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And Paul had said in Ephesians chapter 1, he's been seated above all principalities and powers. He's reigning. But where's victory in this, Paul? I mean, Paul understood it this way because he was soon to be a martyr himself. And Paul's giving the answer here. Paul's giving the final appeal to this joyful and peaceful life that comes for the Christian even in the greatest points of suffering and misery in this life. What's the answer? For our citizenship is in heaven. That's why we're not looking for a rebuilt Jerusalem temple and a rebuilt kingdom here. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is not a future thing. Notice this is all in Greek in the present. This is the reality for us now. And so what he's really trying to impress upon their minds is that all of their trials and all of their struggles, they must live knowing that a citizenship is already secured for them in heaven. Now, I know that Christians struggle to believe this. Different types of people come to mind when I say this. But my friends, what we have to remember is that Paul is really contrasting two types of lives here. That's why I outlined that song earlier. There are those who are living for this world. They're living to build up their homes and their treasures here. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. They set their minds on earthly things. They're living for this present evil age in which Jesus said, don't put your treasure there. And that really becomes the whole focus and the whole point of what we're after and what Paul's after here. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be, as Jesus said. If your treasure is Christ, if he is the goal of your heart, if he is the goal of your life, then all of your movements, all of the things that you do in life, your mindset, your aspirations, your goals, everything is set on the pursuit of gaining him. And he is in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And in already spiritually, Ephesians chapter 2, we're seated there too. So we're longing for the future resurrection so that we may be present with him even physically. This is the glory of what is to come. So today, where is your hope? Are you looking for this? Are you in pursuance of this kind of other life that the Apostle Paul describes here? May Jesus be your all in all. May you put your hope and trust in him and know here the kind of life of joy and peace that he describes.
So much to learn from God's Word in, well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.